This is called Text for Newspaper Days, and it's from a book called Newspaper Days. It was published in 1942 by H.L. Mencken, and it's about his early days as a journalist. At a time when the respectable bourgeois youngsters of my generation were college freshmen, oppressed by simian sophomores and affronted with balderdash daily and hourly by chalky pedagogues, I was at large in a wicked seaport of 500,000 people, with a front seat at every public show, as free of the night as of the day, and getting earfuls and eyefuls of instruction in 100 giddy arcana, none of them taught in schools. On my 21st birthday, by all orthodox cultural standards, I probably reached my all-time low, for the heavy reading of my teens had been abandoned in favour of life itself, and I did not return seriously to the lamp until a time near the end of this record. But it would be an exaggeration to say that I was ignorant, for if I neglected the humanities, I was meanwhile laying in all the worldly wisdom of a police lieutenant, a bartender, a shyster lawyer, or a midwife. And it would certainly be idiotic to say that I was not happy. The illusion that swathes and bedizens journalism, bringing in its endless squads of recruits, was still full upon me, and I had yet to taste the sharp teeth of responsibility. Life was arduous, but it was gay and carefree. The days chased one another like kittens chasing their tails. Whether or not the young journalists of today live so spaciously is a question that I am not competent to answer, for my contacts with them of late years have been rather scanty. They undoubtedly get a great deal more money than we did in 1900, but their freedom is much less than ours was, and they somehow give me the impression, seen at a distance, of complacency rather than intrepidity. In my day, a reporter who took an assignment was wholly on his own until he got back to the office, and even then he was little molested until his copy was turned in at the desk. Today, he tends to become only a homunculus at the end of a telephone wire, and the reduction of his observations to prose is commonly farmed out to literary castrati who never leave the office, and hence never feel the wind of the world in their faces, or see anything with their own eyes. I well recall my horror when I heard for the first time of a journalist who had laid in a pair of what were then called bicycle pants and taken to golf. It was as if I had encountered a stud horse with his hair done up in frizzes and pink bow knots peeking out of them. It seemed in some vague way ignominious and even a bit indelicate.